We give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can you please have your seat in God's presence? You can give a high five to someone beside you. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for today. So we'll quickly just we'll wrap up life of pruning today, and we would see whenever or wherever God intends to take us to, and whenever he intends to pick it up from there. But we've been looking at lean and effective life for a while, right? Probably should probably be going to 7 weeks now, right? Yeah, I think it should be the 7th week. Okay. And so today we'll wrap up by God's grace, we'll wrap up life of pruning, and we'll trust God to move to another body of thought around living an effective life. Father, we thank you for grace. We know your spirit is here with us, and even with those that are joining us online. Thank you, Father. Thank you that as we look into your word, we would employ the spirit of truth to guide us and to help us this night. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. And thank you so much, Blessing and the Pure Streams, for leading us in that amazing worship. Thank you so much. I was going to say that we should always check up on ourselves, you know, whenever we come to church. You know, if you can't see someone, particularly even when you know that the person told you that they were going to be in church, I think it's okay and it's good to just say, "Guy Alpha, you know, I've not seen you yet," and all that, so that we can always be on the lookout for ourselves. Hallelujah. So let's go to Galatians chapter 4. That's where we stopped last week, right? How many of you have been practicing this series? Even the person that raised up is that shy. Raise up your hand if you want to. One person. Okay. It's like we have to just wrap up this series. There's no need doing series. They won't give me an award for doing series. Amen. I would implore that you, whatsoever is not yet possible, I would hope that you please go back to some of the conversations we've had and trust God to experience the life of faith. And you are living a life that is powered by what is revealed, right? It's an expensive life, but it's also cheap. Expensive meaning valuable, not expensive as you can't get it. expensive being that it's valuable, meaning if you compare it with what some other people are living their lives with, yours is more rich, more congealed, more confirmed than what is common out there, or what you can easily find out there. A lot of people are living by what they see. People break marriages because of what they see. You get? But you are living your marriage because of what they revealed to you. Abi now? If we're all living by what we see, we wouldn't be where we are today. A lot of us would have made irrational decisions. But the life that we live, if it's going to be by faith, then that's the life that will be effective. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we looked at pruning, right? And we said to bear fruit, just simply abide in Christ. But to be able to bear more fruit, you have to get pruned so that you can bear more fruit. If you don't get pruned, it will be impossible for you to bear more fruit. And I think one thing I really like about the whole concept of the pruning is that God knows that if you were left to manage your resource yourself, there will be other things that will compete for the resources of God over your life. And then they will form legitimate demand on it. And then you will think God had joined you with those things. And so you will be, you know, in quote, you would have one unholy kindness. And you will take from your oil, you will give to the foolish virgins, all in the name of philanthropy, or all in the name of kindness. And then two of you will not see the groom. Because both of you, your lamp will still finish before the groom would appear. Then, you know, it will not look like, you know, when you see your results, and it's only you that scored E, and you now hear that everybody scored E and F, now your joy now became full. You know that wicked joy. You know, it's not the joy of the Lord. You know, it's from Satan. You know, when you get your result and you had a poor score, but you felt so bad until you heard that everybody failed. Then you went to Mami Market or whichever market is close to your school. You get so. So God would want us to know that the resources He brings into our lives, they are meant to be appropriated. And the only way we can easily appropriate it is, or the best way we can appropriate it is when we are pruned, particularly when God helps us to know our boundaries. You know, that's one thing a lot of people don't know. You don't know what you can do as much as you know what you can do. Actually, some of us even hide under, I can do all things, until you get burnt. Do you get? And so, you know, I want us to know that, see, what God would want us to use to live life successfully is what He's given to us in a place like this. The rest is in our hands, obviously. But God would do His own part. You know, even the preacher would have to trust God for the message. Not to preach, I mean, like, even after the message had been preached. Because me too, I want to live effective life. Like, it's not like living effective life is for a few. You know, amongst many things that we all desire, this is one thing that we all desire. You know, some of us don't desire some things. For example, some of us don't desire to dress flashy. While some of us, we are trusting God every day steadily to bankroll our personal effects. And God is doing it. And now, God is doing it. But there are some things that I can't wish less of. We must all wish together, you know. For example, a prayer life. It's not like, as though you don't want to pray. It's just like laziness. There's no making you pray. But every one of us, we want a prayer life because, you know, devil, you know, if you don't pray, it's true. As much as I don't necessarily sing the song, but the message in the song is true. I think it was somebody that said, no, don't let me say what the person said. God did not say I should say it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you desire to, you know, to have a prayerful life, a word life. But this is also something that all of us should. If we find any one of us falling short of it, it will be a sad thing. Most likely, it will even be a casualty. Because they said a branch that is not bearing fruit, it's not as though they will leave it there and all of us will be pitying it. They said they will cut it away. So it will end up becoming a casualty. Like we will know that there was a branch that left here. It was a prospect. Just as all of us, they had prospect on us that will bear fruit. That branch also had prospect. You know, imagine the day we all gave up, you know, particularly maybe if you were a group that gave your life to Christ, maybe you were all bad boys or girls, and people came to fellowship one day, and then God arrested all of you and gave your life to Christ together. And all of you, at that point, you are prospect. But it doesn't mean that everyone, maybe there are four girls or four boys, it doesn't mean that all of them will stay. One can fall away. I remember in school then, we would get some people saved, and then we just know after a while, one would just feel like, he or she is not flowing. But the others will still stay and, you know, they will get a hold of the message. They will get a new life, you know, and then they will forge it. That's just the practicality of what we are saying, that they will plot another branch. As much as your own branch is neat to the vine, it's being nourished, it's bearing fruits, God is trusting it that it will bear more fruit. But another one, they are planning it, or they had planned it to take away, you know, and they will use it for other purposes, you know, to make fire in the camp so that the other tree can have warmth. Like they will take the branch and use it to make fire. You see, they will burn it with other branches that don't what? That don't bear fruit. So I think I just summarized the past few weeks, right? But yeah, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from what? Though he's a master of all. But he's under guardians and what? And stewards. Can you say guardians and stewards? Until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Please go back to verse 1. So it says, an heir, as long as he's a child, he's a slave. Now, that line is a very tough reality. Because when you see what's Obalola in English? The heir to the throne. Yeah. I mean, is the heir to the throne now? Yeah. Obalola. Yeah. That Obalola, they said, he's still a child. He's a slave. Or he differed not from a slave. So it's not so much that, it's not so much about maybe he's wearing slave clothes. They made a comparison, actually. Let's look at this in KJV. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So when you put an heir that is a child, and you put many things in the room, the only thing they can compare that child with. Now in this house of the king, there are many people there. It's not only servants that are there, or slaves. There are probably people that advise the king. There's the king himself. There are people that advise what? The king. There are people that hail the king. You know, this one that will be screaming from money. There's the town crier somewhere. They are the wise men. They are the chiefs. But out of everybody in that palace, is the slave they compared that child with. Now, everybody aside from the king is the master of all. Like everybody aside, the king alone is the master of all. But every other person, even the person that advises the king, is not the master of all. But when we are to compare that child, we compare that child with a slave or with a servant. Hallelujah. Verse 2. But they said, this heir that is a child, that is now compared with a slave, at that state he is set under guardians and what? Stewards. Now the reason why they did that is so that those two structures, they can do life with this child, so that when the appointed time has come, this child would have become a son. That's the whole body of the first part of Galatians chapter 4. So he's an heir, but a child. But at some point, it will be the heir that is a son. So he can then have access to everything that his father has access to, or the king has access to. Now, the emphasis here for me is actually the structure that placed the child, so that he can fulfill all his potential. Now, there's a potential in that child that is an heir. There's a future son in that child. But if that child is not under guardians and stewards, he would remain a slave and he wouldn't have the opportunity to experience what his father experiences. The father is the master of all. But while that child is yet what? A slave. Or while that heir is yet a child, he doesn't have mastery of all the things that the father desires that he has mastery of. And so what the father does for that child, the good thing, is not even to hasten the guy's development. Like the best arrangement that was made for this heir that is a child is that they put him in a school. They put him in a school where he has guardians and what and steward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so every one of us, you know, the word over our lives is very, very profound. I mean, the word God has spoken over our lives. You know, when you tell a child that he's an heir, he may go about his business and he would obviously have a presence that seems to be royal. Like he would have maybe entourage. Now, the Bible is saying that regardless of the prospect that that child has, and when you say prospect in the kingdom, prospect is the word that God has given to you to do life with. So they told him that you are a prince, but your being in the state of child would not make you have access to what your father has access to. Okay, let's read through. Let's read verse 3. Even so, we, when we were born children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law. Now, this verse itself has a trust. It has something it's teaching. My emphasis here is that a prospect would remain a prospect if it is not kept under guidance and steward. It won't come to the fullness of time. So when God has given you a prospect, a word to do life with, you are destined for greatness, but you can't yet control greatness until God tutors you through your face or your development phase till the appointed time when you can now rule over all that prospect has promised. So if God says that, oh, you are going to take this industry for me. Now, a state where the word meets you, you are not yet the person that will take over the industry. What God expects is that you go through the tutelage of becoming the man of the word. Now, if you're a student of this house, that phrase should not be far from you. Like when you're giving a word, you know, you are now being advised to become the man of the word so that the word can be fulfilled. Right?
Yes, sir.
Aha. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go to, let's read some scriptures, basically, and to appreciate the value and the benefit of pruning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read some couple of scriptures and we'll trust God to. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. You know, Proverbs is also similar to, the straightforwardness of Proverbs is close to the straightforwardness of James and John. It says, whoever loves instruction, he loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction. Now, this correction is in the similitude of pruning. Because by the time we read Hebrews 12, pruning is also recorded as rebuke. The Bible says, he who the Father loves, he chastises. No, please go back. I think we'll wrap up with Hebrews 12 to close up on life of pruning. It says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction, he would remain in a folly state. But the one that gets rebuke, or the one that gets correction, now it's not just the correction he got, he also got knowledge. So for example, it could be that he now has a knowledge of how not to do, you know. And that's why if you're in a place to correct someone, don't just correct without putting knowledge in that. No, don't say, don't do that thing. Stop doing that thing. Don't you know that that thing will be, will get, you know, like you do all those drama correct, but you leave the opportunity to put in knowledge. So, for example, if your son or your daughter or your child wants to put his or her hand close to maybe hot, maybe pot or iron or something. Now, for some people, it's the cost, it's the medical bills that is in their head. That, don't do that. You want me to start spending money? Now, you've lost the opportunity to impact knowledge. Bible says, he that hates correction, he will remain stupid. Now, what's stupidity? Stupidity is that the things that you ought to know how to do, you won't be able to do them. That's stupidity. The things you ought to know. Amen.
Amen.
And so the person that hates pruning is being foolish, desiring more fruit. Like you don't like, whenever they are preaching pruning, that's when you leave the WhatsApp group. Like, when the sermon is just, or when the message, or when the correction comes in. And some of us, we unknowingly, we are in this, you know, for example, maybe your boss wants to give you feedback. You don't like the good feedback until they touch maybe the one you don't like. And then you just change it for everybody. You just be like, you just cut out the table. Now, the Bible says you will remain stupid. Now, it's better to hear and trust God to have the ability to maybe sieve, particularly if it's coming from maybe a source that you can't really trust. But for example, you know, maybe in the church, maybe you're giving a counsel, or maybe you're corrected. Maybe they've been seeing you on, and it's not like we don't track people. Maybe on, I want to say they've been seeing you on social media. I don't even think we have that time. But let's even imagine, you know, maybe you just posted the Abba's girl. And what Abba's girl is wearing is not a bike. It's not portraying the glory of Abba. Then maybe, you know, a dickness in church, you know, calls you aside. Now, if you're able to receive the correction, it's not the correction that is left with you. A knowledge is left with you. Hallelujah. So when God is looking at a branch and he prunes that branch, the question is, how, what makes the branch better than the promised it? Because what we would literally see is, oh, the branch bore fruit first, then was pruned. It's as though he lost something. It was pruned, and then he's now expected to bear fruit again. Now, there's a difference in a branch that bore fruit without the process of pruning, and the branch that bore fruit after it was pruned. One is more knowledgeable than the other. Now, what all the branches we see is, they've corrected this one. But what sits with that person is wisdom, not fully or folly. It's just like when somebody can repeat something, it's better than the person that's done it once. Because the ability to repeat is not necessarily in the air. Like, it's not that wait for me to bear fruit or I'll bear fruit again. Like, there's no promise that you will bear fruit again if you've not even started bearing. It's like you've not gone to school, then maybe you've not done your BSc, and then you're already hoping for your master's. No, you have to do your BSc first. Before we would now think that you have the ability to do another degree. Hallelujah. So you can't hate pruning and then you desire to produce more fruit. That effort itself would also lead to waste. So it's like energy that you are exerting, but is going in the direction of waste. Hallelujah. So he says, whoever loves instruction, he loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Can we look at Proverbs 15, verse 32? Proverbs 15, 32. This one is even worse than that first one. He says, he who hates instruction, he hates his own soul. So you remember what I said, that the one that received the correction, it's not the correction alone that he received. He also has something that you didn't receive correction. He knows something you don't know. After he has been corrected, he is wise. Said he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Like you are your own enemy. So to say. So that branch that after he bore fruit is escaping all the prunings of Jesus is the one that is disturbing himself. He says, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Now he gets the rebuke, but his reward is understanding. See, whenever God is doing something with you, there's two benefits. God has benefit over every of what he's doing with you. Like if when God even says praise me, it's for he has benefit. He says, Bible says he inhabits in the praises of his people. So when God says praise me, you know, when he says when praises go up, blessing come down, Abby. Now, when praise go up, he has a benefit to God as much as he has a benefit to you. At the end of the praise and worship, you say, oh, my sorrows have been lifted. You know, I'm now free. Now, that's your own benefit. But you are not the only one that got benefit through that engagement. Now, as much as we say that, oh, there's nothing you want to do that doesn't benefit God, we do a lot that benefits God. Let me also say this. When you fast, you know, we always say, oh, when you fast, it's not so that you can move the hand of God. You know, see, the distance of God moves. Meaning, your frequency to hear God could be at a distance. Now, when you are in a tune, or when you're in a place where you are now more in, you are more in tune with God, the distance is shortened. So he's closer to you than you were before. So it's benefit for him as much as it's benefit for you. It says he who disdains instruction, he should be careful when he's praying that all my enemies should die. That's what he's saying. You should be careful. You know when they say, well, don't share, right? You know that phrase? it's true. You are the one doing yourself. When a man runs away or shields himself from rebuke or instruction or correction, he's the one that is preventing his effort to move forward. So when that branch, when they were saying that branch, come to the class of pruning, and that class that branch is missing classes, is you know that's the way school is too. You know you say you skip class. Is your GP you are despising? And when if you're in Unilag, they will say your GP has almost entered Lagoon. Yes, that's the way they describe a GP that is going beyond rescue. What if a law was a law? Like the pig, the demons that enter the pig, and the pig is running to the swine. I remember in year 3 then. I think that was also the year when, I think there was something that happened in the economy. There was something they called it then. It was a recession, but it had a name. It had a different name. Meltdown. Yes. They gave it there was a special, so it was, we're only in year 3 then. Our GP do meltdown. And that was the first time, you know, the number of the people that had F in one course, it was as though they failed all the students. Then one boy drew a dog that was escaping. I wanted to run inside the lagoon. Then we're all pulling the dog. So then I wrote our GP on the dog. So the guy is an engineer, but he's an artist. He draws very well. Then we now pasted it. It was very sorrowful time. Like many first class, bish. Like many people that had first class in year one, they were pampering the first class. What to do, boy? From the ones that were saved by grace, it was maybe 3 point something from first class. You know, if you're a student here, one way to despise instruction is don't attend class. You just find out that you are the one despising your soul. Despising your soul. It says, but he who rebukes, or who eats rebuke, he gets understanding. Let's move on. Let's go to Proverbs 29:15. Now, I want us to understand these verses in the context of the branch that exonerates itself from the pruning of God after it had brought fruit at the first instance. So you can see that somebody that produced wealth once, and for one reason or the other, it could not be reproduced. Before we start looking left, right, and center, running from pillar to post, check with that person. At times you can ask someone, have they given you an instruction that you've not followed? And that's why you have to be very careful to intervene in people's affair. No, I'm very... See, you might think that everybody wants to solve their problem. Like, you might just think that everybody, like, anybody that has a problem, they're interested. Some people don't want to solve that problem. Some people don't want to solve the problem. And so when somebody approaches you and says, oh, I'm having this challenge, you know, I could produce 5 carton of this thing before, but now I can't produce anything again. You can ask the person, did anybody give you an instruction around this that you've not obeyed? You will find out that there's one. Did I say you should go here? Oh, okay. Proverbs 29:15. You know, I like the way there's a don't hype correction. God loves correct. You hype what is left with you. He says the rod and the rebuke, they give wisdom. No, but we don't see that. We see it gives pain, weeping or crying. At times you look like the one that couldn't get it. You know, there was a point in my life that I always just wished that I was never wrong. Until God corrected me. That your ability to wish to be never wrong is your opportunity to be never wise. Yeah. You know, there's a way you wish not to be wrong, you know. When this person, you enter the room, are this how we intend to do this thing, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. You are the one we have been waiting for. You know, I mean, if I ask any one of us, this is not in, we don't naturally like this. All of us, it's just like you ask your you ask your wife or your husband, please, can you share your candid feedback? You just want to be, you know, since I married you, you know, everything, my life has been going south. Since I married you, it's now going west, you know. When you just hear, you know, I've been telling you that, you don't want to hear that one. No, I'm serious though. Do you like, when I just say, what did IT say? Oh, I think I saw IT. Oh, she stepped out. Somebody said something now. Ah, okay. No, everything, he will be liking everything is vanilla. Until you just hear, but. But is that one that will leave wisdom with you? Yeah. Most likely, all the other ones, if you keep doing them, you won't be a better husband. Is that but? That's where the rod and the rebuke is coming is coming from. But some people, they would quickly just scatter the table. Change it and say, no, 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 don't go there. This one, this is what I... At times, you know, he's even trying to make the person now become the fool. Ah, I don't know. He's like you would change, you turn the table. And this one grace that God would have to give to us as a people that we can receive rebuke. You know, is it not a beautiful, like somebody is rebuking, but you're not even seeing, you are seeing wisdom. You are seeing understanding. I mean, we all want to be darlings, you know. Maybe you're, I mean, even when you look at, let's say maybe your unit, for example, the one that is being rebuked most, you people would think is the bad one. But if that one is receiving the rebuke as it is coming, he will be the wisest. He would now have more, because a lot of people run away from rebuke. But your opportunity at getting rebuked is your... Do you know that the child you rebuke will be better than the child that was never rebuked? It says, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Like, you know... See, when they say they will pluck out a branch from a vine, it's not in the secret, though. Like, the closest branch will feel that they plucked something out. Like, the closest branch, I mean, branch that is still joined to the vine, will feel that something, they pulled somebody out. So, it's not a secret. They will pluck them out. Then we'll now wake up and find out that, oh, we have been reduced. No. Branch that doesn't want to be pruned will produce more fruit, and it will be publicly. So there will be a shame. As much as God doesn't want that for us, that is also unavoidable. It says that child will be left to himself. And you know what is with himself? Nothing. You know, when he says, you can do nothing. That's what he said in John. You can do nothing except you abide. You can do nothing. Like, there's no... See, if they remove God out of your equation, you can do nothing. It says, from without me, you can do nothing. So that child that is running away from rebuke by himself is nothing. Meaning, if they give him the chance to correct his wrong himself, he can't. You know, at times, some of us, we receive rebuke in proxy. You can't meet somebody for white skin. Somebody told me that they mismanaged their funds. You are the one that mismanaged the funds. In proxy. You collect advice in proxy. You know, sir, I've been praying for a brother. You know, he's currently going through lust. You know, I've been trying. You can't see. Sir. Hey, sir. I'm drowning. Lust has choked me. So, but because you want to receive the rebuke in proxy, that's another, that one, the stupidity is high, is spiritual. Yeah, receiving rebuke in proxy. Have you, Pastor Kenny, have you seen people receive? Me, I've seen, no. They'll just, at times, it will take the grace of God for God to tell you that this is the person. And it will be like, I want you to blue by. Because the person will land the story well. And you will not find any trace. And so you can't receive rebuke in proxy and hope it will end in wisdom. No. You know, we always say wisdom is the ability to do, or the enablement to do, or the ability to apply knowledge, like many of us know. So don't receive rebuke in proxy. Yes, it takes humility to ask for rebuke. But yeah, you know, you are coming out of that experience more wise than someone who has never been rebuked. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Proverbs 13:24. There's a lot of Proverbs, but we'll soon move out of Proverbs. 13:24. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Hallelujah. The daddy has picked a message like that. One daddy has picked the message that he will use. Please, discipline him promptly with mercy. Somebody has picked message. Yeah? This is why I came to church. This is not the only reason you came to church. No. Discipline him promptly with mercy, please. Let's go to Proverbs 9:7. Now, I'm just wanting us to read different scriptures. Like I said, we have to also understand it in the light that God wants to prune a branch. So when you see a branch go woke, you can't, before you say witches and wizard attacked it. That branch has done itself harm. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. No, go on. We're going to 9. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. So every time you've hated rebuke, you were a scoffer. Some of us don't know the meaning of scoffer. What's the meaning of scoffer? Is it mocker? Yeah, you're right. And he says a scoffer is someone who mocks or makes fun of someone or something. So you don't stress. You know, the branch that tells itself that it can bear fruit of itself is mocking himself. So when they bring rebuke to that branch, is wasteful. And that's why, you know, Papi will always say, if he gives you instruction or correction and you don't heed to it, maybe one or twice, we just leave it to yourself. Because he's also a wise master builder. He does not want to just be casting his spells to what? To swine. So that's what scoffers will do. They will take your wise counsel. They will rubbish it. But he said, he that receives what? For a wise man. He says, when we are talking rebuke, he loves rebuke. You know, if God can do one thing for us today, is to change our appetite for rebuke. It's like we're in a reorientation camp of what rebuke is, what pruning is. For many of us, this is the last thing on the list. We seek commendation before this. Like, hype me, whine me, tell me I'm the best thing that's ever happened. He says a wise man loves rebuke. There's something he knows that comes out of rebuke. That's why he loves it. Hallelujah. So if a wise man says rebuke is good, then I think it is. Let's go to Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let's read this in NIV. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Can you back it up a little bit? Let's hear what the wise man was talking about. It says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command," that's the command you got from your father and your what? Your mother, your guardian and your steward. This is not just biological mother and father. No. Some biological mother and father don't qualify for this. They're currently not given the command that a child can bind around the neck that will guide him when he's sleeping. No, it's not. This one is not blood. Your guardians and your stewards, God will give them the privilege to give you command. He says that command, in it is also reproof of correction, or correction and instruction, as NIV put it. And with it, you would have a pathway to life. You know, a lot of people that they don't know what's happening with them. This probably is missing. You know, one thing that reproof does is it gives you also compass to live life. So you're not a casualty of always missing your road. You are not always lost. You know, there are people that are lost. They are life, but they can't really connect what happened yesterday with what is happening. I think maybe Proverbs 22:15. You know, like I said last 2 weeks, God will not put your pruning in your own hand. Did you remember? God will not put your prune, like, "God, give me the cane. God, give me the opportunity to prune myself." You know? The assumption that you know your state is a false assumption. You know, the assumption that you know, there are a lot of, something light. And is that? What do you say? No. Like an area in your life that you can't see. Blind spot. Yeah. Thank you. Blind spot. You know, there are many blind spots that you can't see yourself. That God would have to send someone to bring the right correction into your space. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from. I like this. I like this one. See, Nigerian parents, they read Proverbs well. I think Western parents, they missed Proverbs. They only went to Songs of Solomon. Yeah. I think Nigerian parents, they spent quite some doctrinal teaching on Proverbs. Is it foolish? When you see a child, it's not that it's foolish. Foolishness has a citadel. He is bound up in his heart. But don't worry. See, that branch that bore fruit once is still a child. In that area of bearing fruit, he doesn't have mastery yet. He doesn't yet control all the factors. That's why I always tell people that, see, I'm always very careful when somebody, "Please come and advise our company. We are building." I'm asking, how many company have I built? Go and meet the person that has built 5. Go and meet the person that has built 6. That's the right person that can tell you for a fact what you need to do. You know, there's a story of a woman that I had a close contact. There was one company that was literally having it very, very rough. You know, they did some crowdfunding, took money from the public, and I learned MMM is back in town. The rebuke is that if you put your money there, Otilo. So, let's leave that one. My concern was the people that were holding the flyer in that. I was like, I was thinking a lot of things, but it wasn't a big deal for me. I just knew that people will cry again, and that one is normal. People cry. And so this company was really having it very rough, and it was during COVID, so a lot of their projections didn't come through. And you know people now, if they've given you money, you know, when they need to bring out that money, by every means. And so they were really having it rough. Some of them, they threatened. A lot of people resigned because their lives were threatened and all that. The CEO, the people that were running the company, they were not finding it easy. Now, at that state, they needed to either shut everything down and find money to go and pay these so-called investors. But they chose to speak to people that have seen those kind people go through those kind of, because see, for you, your 2 billion loss is your first. Some people have been seeing people lose 2 billion, like they've seen 5, 6, and how the ones that could recover, they were the ones that they could not. Like they have examples. They will even give you your scenario in 5 other instances, because at times the way our problem looks to us, it's as though you are the first person it happened to. Like, hey, how would they hear it? How would my mother hear it? That I'm the first of my lineage that... It will even shock you. If you go to your lineage, there's one foolish bro, Amud, that will tell you, I've made this mistake before. And so they went to speak to a VC firm. And one of the counsels they got there was that let them bring one woman. So they advised them that. Now, they could easily say, how would you, our company, the company that we founded with our blood, our sweat, how we just say they should bring one woman, from nowhere? What? That company is still standing and thriving today. If they didn't heed, if they say, no, we tried ourselves. No, we'll go through the thick and thin. You will thin. They came out of that, you know. The lady came in and, you know, when she told us this story, you would also probably know that it wasn't as easy as it was in the press. You know, press has its own coloring. The real state of that thing is not in the press. Actually, what's in the press is 0.1 of the actual state of any problem. I mean, you can ask the journalists. So when she said the problem as they wrote it in the press is nothing. Like what they wrote, because it was really public. If I even mentioned the company, some of you might say, my money. But I think they've paid out everyone now. You get. And the woman came in and fixed. She became the interim CEO for a while and fixed. Like the things, even if those guys go to Harvard and quack, they won't be able to solve the problem. Now, that's actually how God also sets up guardians and stewards in our lives. So that those guys can literally go into depression, commit suicide, kill themselves. Because when you're thinking of 2 billion or 5 billion, is it that you want to be saving 100K? Like, out of a sign, take 100K, save it, carry wise, save it small, small. By the time your calculator can calculate it, then it's not savings. It was just, they got a lot of rebuke, actually. At least that, them, I had to, like, I literally had to flog it, because there were some places where they didn't nip things in the bud, where things, like, there was problem, but part of the problem was their problem. It was what they cost themselves. And so, she had to chastise them. But really, really, the company is even doing better than, like, they would have, thank God that they went, like, it became a blessing in disguise. But thank God that episode was, that intervention came. Else it would have been a sad story. So that child that produced results once, is not ability to produce again that is in the heart. It's foolishness that is in the heart. And that's why when you, and this is an advice to every one of us, when you experience something for the first time, calm down. Not be afraid that, we got to be able to do it again. No, no. Because there's foolishness locking up somewhere. Now, that's why when the young evangelist, when he's just able to lay hands on the sick, I'm going to start your own church. Yeah, there's foolishness locked up in a prospect. You just do it once. And that's why when you do something once, see, there's more glory in your ability to repeat it. It's even more legitimized, or is more firm and confirmed. That's why I even say, even the strong meat, they don't give it to a child. That's Hebrews. It says strong meat belongs to them who through use and excess. This one, they've exercised, they know faith. You don't know faith. They know the word of God. You don't know the word of God. They know when devil can when you see devil present itself as an angel of light. How will you know? Femi, how will you know? Like devil, he makes himself the angel of light. You that are looking for angel of light. Because of where? Encounter niye. Encounter. It was a thing where encounter. Encounter niye. So when they say that, the devil walked into the room and I told the devil that I arranged my chair before, it's men who through use. It's not that it's once. No, it's foolishness that is locked up in the heart of a prospect, even though he has a prospect of becoming a master of all. They quickly give him guidance and what? And stewards. And those are not to pamper him. They are not to pamper him. They are to ensure that when the appointed time comes, this will be a son. Their own job is to make a son out of a child. Can we go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 19? Okay, let's do Psalms 94 first. 94:12. Then we'll come back to this. Because I think the scripture is just buttressing itself. It says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. I think I even asterisked this. So let's read it together with Job's 5:17. It says, behold, happy is the man whom what? God corrects. Can you say, happy is the man?
Happy is the man
whom God corrects.
Whom God corrects.
It says, therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. So it for the man, and at times we could see the correction, you know. For some people, you know, maybe they are publicly corrected. And that's why I always say that we have to train ourselves and even train our children that when people are being corrected, they don't laugh. Because this is actually why we ran away from rebuke. Because devil sold a lie to us that is mockery that comes when rebuke is around. It's even very natural to some of us. When they are rebuking one, the rest of us are laughing. And we have work to do because we are unlearning this. Me, I'm even unlearning this. That rather, it should be that we are happy that it's been corrected because after that correction, it would gain wisdom. You know, imagine when you have apprentices. You know, it's the one that the guys say, you don't know, this. The other guys are laughing. Because we have to train ourselves and even everyone that God gives us rule over to be able to love chastening. It says, therefore, do not despise the chastening. Because the Lord doesn't want us to run away from his chastening. Because, you know, the import of what we just said now is about this correction thing and not laughing or mocking is even for somebody, when God is chastening a man, people are mocking him. And so he runs away from the chastening of the Lord because he knows that in the fold of the believer, they will either maybe excommunicate him, they will just leave him. And you know, people that this one does not have this, or God is dealing with him because he made an error. See, when God is in charge of chastening or rebuke, just focus. Like, focus on your own, honestly. Because I can't even advise you pray for the person. Just you, focus on your, because your own day. Because he says he loves to chastise. So when you say you are in love with God, is in love with you, there's chastisement in your vocabulary. And so if you are here, you've not experienced the chastening of God before. It will come if you love God. And the season of pruning is the seasons in between your productivity, actually. So it's not something you necessarily, maybe you want to, oh, year 2024, my year of pruning. Don't worry. don't hear it yet. Don't worry. No, don't worry. It's your season in between productivity. See, anytime you think God, a new season. Now, if you have all the facts that the former season was productive, there's a pruning that will be layered. It's like sandwich. They will layer the pruning season so that you can be productive in the next. So it says, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. You know, Psalm says, blessed is that man. Psalms 94:12. Blessed is that man. You know, I've already told us that anyone who experiences chastisement or correction, something is left with that person. It says, blessed is the man who you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Let's now go to Revelation 3:19. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous. So you can see that it is admonishing us that when you hear rebuke and chastening, we should be laid back. Be zealous and repent. And so we should see that pruning is not a thing God does by force. As much as he does it in love, we also have to desire it because God wouldn't force pruning on us. It's just that we wouldn't be part of his plan for harvest and fruitfulness. But rather, other things will happen. There will be the plucking out. There will be the gathering with the other rest of the branches that are not producing fruit. Finally, let's go to Hebrews 12 and then we'll tie it up there. You know, one of the prayers that one can take out of this is, God, connect me to my guardians and stewards. I can't even tell you that there's a particular prayer for pruning. I mean, you might have received some instructions that could have helped you to identify excesses in your life. Yeah, you can pray about those. But when you're just yourself, it's not just you looking around. And this is not even self-assessment. I mean, this is not self-assessment. Now, self-assessment is still what you think you can fix. Let's start from verse 5. Yes, thank you. And you have forgotten to the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. So you can see that there's an admonishment saying that don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. There's no reason to be discouraged. Rather, be encouraged, be zealous, and repent. Like literally, when they say, who wants to be rebuked? me. You know, there's one person that always asks for this. It's David. When he says, search me, O Lord. He's like, you say, police not on the road. They not drive to their station. That's one presence on the road that I'm still always like, what are they always doing on the road? By times they somehow they catch bad guys. Somehow. They have other intention, but somebody will catch a bad guy. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go back to Hebrews. He says, do not be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves. You know, there are things we need to be deducing from pruning. There's wisdom, there's understanding, there's love in it. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, scourging is not a very small word. Can you maybe put this in another version? Scourging is not. Before I explain what I know scourging as, let's just put this maybe amplified or something. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves, and he punishes. Now, I said some weeks back that what God chastises is not punishment. No, it's not punishment. But now, this one says it's punish. Because the way we think about punishment is the wage or is the reward for sin. Amen. Is anybody confused? For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love when he draws you to himself. This TPT's version. It's truly the Passion. It's Passion Bible. You have to read KJV before you come and read this one. You think God is joking. Now looks like message. Don't even go to message, yo. That one will just say that do as you wish. The reward for more fruit is pruning. Pruning is not the punishment for bearing fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you have to, and I don't know what type of service that rendition would do, but I'm trusting God that our heart would really capture where God wants this to sit. Because God wants us to change even our appetite for rebuke. That it's something that we know that we are blessed for. It's not a loss. Okay, let's take you back to that TPT. No, Amplified. I think it's Amplified that wrote it, Abby. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves. And he punishes every son whom he receives and welcomes to the earth. Take it back to verse 5. And you have forgotten the divine word of encouragement which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not make light of the discipline of the Lord. And do not lose heart and give up when you are corrected by him. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves, and he punishes every son whom he receives and welcomes to his heart. Verse 7. You must submit to correction for the purpose of discipline, God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, if you are exempt from correction and without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate children and not sons at all. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we submitted and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more willingly submit to the Father of spirits and live by learning from his discipline? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, which is very, very true. He says, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose. So then, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that tremble. Cut through and make smooth straight path for your feet that are safe and go in the right direction, so that the leg which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. Continually pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will ever see the Lord. Please switch it back to NKJV. Then we'll tie it up. You know, there's also one place I wanted us to read in Zephaniah, which was a prophecy that God gave to the children of Israel. But we don't have time. Zephaniah chapter 3. Actually, even the whole book of Zephaniah. But friends, you know, I want us to know that our lives will be effective, meaning we will be able to amount to everything that God has written concerning us. A husband will fulfill his potential. A wife will fulfill her potential. A boy, a girl will fulfill all the God-given potential. You know, like I said in the first day, the reason why God wants us to live an effective life is one, so that you can be all that God wants you to be. That at the end of the day, you will say you finished your course. Like we read on Sunday, you are now being poured out as a drink offering. You've done everything that God designed you for. Now, as much as that is a beautiful place to be, it's also far-reaching for many. A lot of people that have passed through this earth, they can't boldly say that they finished their course. They ran the race that God set for them. But God wants for every one of us here, and even those that would yet listen to this message, you know, years to come, that we are not designed to be 99% effective. Like, you're not designed to fulfill everything, then 1% is left. But God wants us to ensure that we are in a place where the resources that God brings to us can be rightly appropriated to do the things that God intends them for. You know, I gave the analogy of the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. If the wise virgin had made an attempt to empathize, there will be 6 foolish virgins. A wise one was converted. And so it tells us that many people that are not fulfilling their God-given dreams, it's not because God didn't provide for that dream. Actually, a lot of dreams that are not fulfilled, they died at appropriation. Like God just gave you this, and then you thought it was for this. Then you went on a spending spree. I know we don't have somebody here that when God blesses you, you just travel to your village. I know you are not here. But I just heard that now. I know you are not, maybe online. Like they just, God just blesses you. It's your village. You need deliverance. Your name is still somewhere. that he can call. And so we must stay at the place where God can refine and refine our hearts. Don't be too smart. There's foolishness locking up somewhere. Don't say that you can do it yourself. See, if God leaves you by yourself, you will be a wreck of yourself. You will shipwreck yourself. What God does rather is that he puts us with guardians and what? And stewards. See, the least you want to be is a man that received or that has prophecy, but your prophecy never came to pass. See, you are more miserable than the man that never had prophecy. So that child that is a heir, he's prophesied a heir. He has a prospect to becoming a heir. But if he doesn't wait under the right tutelage, there won't be an appointed. There won't be another opportunity for him to now behave like his father. That you produced once, God can make it happen again. You know, that's one thing we said, that the fear of God doing it again, God doesn't have that fear. He is consistent. But what he does is he puts the right processes or the right principles in place to ensure that that thing, that outcome will be possible. And so he says that for you to produce more, I would have to prune you. I would have to ensure that the more resources I provide to you, there are no competing interests. You are not under any undue obligation. You know, one thing God must deliver us from, particularly in this part of the world, undue obligation. You just feel like you should save the whole world. They just increase your salaries more. You just, hey, ha. They could save everybody, bye. I've told you, see, if you philanthropize, you will be the next beggar. You know, say 2K, any 2K, man. If you, see, you must see your prosperity in the light of God. Not in the light of men. No. Else God will tell you that this thing you are praying for, I gave you the money yesterday. This thing you are praying for, I gave you the time yesterday. You thought it was for another time. You should know when you should not give your time to a thing. You say, ah, God, I don't have time for prayer. No, I gave you the time. No, you said you were going to use it to cancel. Because now that I have not taken the position of El Shaddai, a man without grace will see grave. Because when you misappropriate your graces, it's death experiences that will be happening. You will just be seeing things are not working. See, one as a child of God, one litmus test to know that you are misappropriating things is the things that used to work in your hand is not working again. That's one way to quickly spot misappropriation. And so God strips us of every illegitimate demand. You know, that's what weeds do. They will choke the tree that the water is for all of us. The farmer did not plan for the weeds. They didn't plan. When they calculated this thing would germinate in 6 months, blah, blah, they didn't plan for the weed. But the weed will appear as though both of you, they planted you together. So if that tree is not wise to know that this is a weed, and this one says, this is my co-laborer, it will feed out of your own provision. Because the weed does not have provision. They didn't budget for it. He says, all that the Father has given to me, I have kept. They didn't budget for the weed. You might think they forgot the weed. No, the God in heaven didn't forget the weed. It's a weed. So if you think your father did not think well, and then they gave you 5 liters of water, you shared into two, you took 2.5. This day of when they are gathering fruit, you will be found wanting. Because all the resources that God has ushered your way has been misappropriated. And so we must have our lives under the right watch where we can receive instruction. It says when we are corrected, people might see correction, but wisdom is what is left with us. Yes. Wisdom, knowledge is what is left with us. Your ability to do that thing. Men might say, Komo. After Komo, when people have left, you've received the correction, but you will receive wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we trust you tonight. That none of us would shipwreck our faith. That none of us would call God accursed. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all that God has said, he is bound to be faithful. But Father, we bring ourselves under your own mighty hand today. That you will strip us off and disconnect us from everything that has laid illegitimate demand on the graces and the anointings and the abilities of God in our lives. That this life will be able to amount to everything that God has destined for it. Amen. We want to bear more fruit, but we know the requirement is that we will be proud. Father, help our hearts not to be discouraged at the sight of pruning. Amen. Help our heart that we will be zealous and repent. At every time when your correction comes. At every time when your rebuke comes. At every time when your chastisement comes. Father, help us to love your discipline. Help us to love your discipline. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May your name be highly exalted, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed.